I felt like I was spending all this time on my hustle, but I was like to no avail. It wasn't producing any results whatsoever. And that was when I doubted myself. I learned that there's always a breakdown before the breakthrough.
Welcome to The Defense Never Rests with Morgan and Akins, your monthly dose of uncommon sense about all things legal and some that are not.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of The Defense Never Rests. I am Megan Henry, and today I'm joined with my co-host, Nate Bolander. Nate, how are you this evening?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. This is a, normally we don't do podcasts at night. It's like dark out here, but what a way to start our evening.
Exactly. Yeah. It's only 5 o'clock, but yet it's pitch black outside and snowy. So.
Well, that is true. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited for today's podcast because we're talking about side hustles. And I invited on a friend of mine from law school, Julianne, who has a growing book blog, and I'm like amazed by it, as well as Angela Hahn, who I met about a year ago. She has a podcast and a health coaching business. And I just think she's amazing. She's doing all this with almost 1 year old at home. So they both have been super successful in their side hustles. And I think they have a lot of great information about their growth and how they got started and how they keep going. So just something I've wanted to talk to both of them about for some time. So I'm glad they were able to join us today.
And I think certainly side hustles are much more part of all of our lives now that COVID's hit. I think we're having more time at home, more time with our families, more time to think quite frankly, and look at our hobbies and say, should I make this into a side hustle? And with the pervasiveness of social media and the internet, it gets a reality for some people. So these two definitely use that to their full potential, and I'm excited to hear from them.
Yeah, and I think, and both of them will talk about how like things really took a step up during COVID. And I think, you know, we've saw a lot of people really get in touch with their creative side during the past 9 months or so. So I think it's a definite positive of the pandemic that we're in the midst of right now.
And so without further ado, let's welcome on Angela and Julianne.
So good afternoon. This afternoon, we have Angela Hahn and Julianne Bunacore on today, and we're here to talk about side hustles. So a little bit of background. I've known Julianne for a long time. I've known her since law school. I keep wanting to call her Julianne Jason because that's who she is to me. But we went to Villanova Law together. And she's currently a practicing products liability attorney in Philadelphia. So how are you today, Julianne?
I'm doing really good.
Good. And Julianne we'll talk about it more in detail later, but she has a really healthy side hustle going on writing a book blog that's kind of blown up over the last, I think, year or so.
Yep, it's been about a year.
And also we have Angela. I've known Angela, I think, probably about a year now. She had me on as a guest for her podcast. I think it was probably like 7 months ago, maybe. I think you were just about to have your baby.
Oh my gosh, it was like a year ago.
Was it a year ago?
Crazy, yeah.
So Angela is a healthcare lawyer and a health coach and corporate counsel. And she wears a lot of hats every day, right?
Yeah.
So, and of course, you know, Nate's here to join us as well.
And Nate, yep, the throw-in. Go ahead.
So we're here to talk about side hustles. And, I think the question everyone, or at least I have at first is, you know, you both of you are currently practicing attorneys. Like you have full-time gigs, but you also have very like healthy side hustles going on and side businesses going on. So I'll throw it to you first, Julianne. Like, how did you even start something else on the side?
Okay, so I was kind of already doing it and just not publishing it. I have a really overactive mind, and I also am a kind of a creative person, and I come from creative parents, and I've always kept a personal blog since law school. And I did, my minor was in English and writing when I was in college, and I won a writing award at the end of my high school graduation. It's just something I've always been doing, and I just never publicized it. It's kind of just my way of getting my thoughts out of my head and getting my creativity on paper. And it just kind of got to the point where I had so much. I had I use Evernote, which is an app where you can have notebooks and take notes. I had something like 1500 notes last year. I still don't have all of my reviews, my book reviews published. I was just writing them just to get my thoughts out of my head and kind of process those emotions after I read a book. And also I had just gotten married in May of 2019. And between the wedding planning process and planning our honeymoon, which was a pretty big trip to Italy, and I had spent a good couple months doing the research because I really wanted it to be worth our money. And I read a bunch of books that were set in Italy, and you know, I did everything you could possibly do to research this trip and have a great time. And as we went along, I was taking all of these notes that this book is set in this city, and then this restaurant goes with it. And I had it all on my phone and just wanted it to be somewhere that if someone was going to Italy, I could say, oh, here, go, look here, this is all the information you need. So it was really a matter of taking everything I had on my phone and getting it onto a blog, and also just continuing that creative void that was missing after my wedding and my honeymoon, where that's all over and that creative part of your life is gone. And I was really looking for somewhere to put that creativity again.
Yeah. And I love that too, because we do, like, I'm not a super creative person, but I do remember planning my wedding, and you get so into it and all the details. And then when that's over, I can understand like trying to be like, well, I need to still do something. So I love that you use that experience and kind of, you know, then continued the efforts forward. So Angela, you've been at this for some time too. So how did you get started?
I started, I got certified as a personal trainer, right when I passed the bar, because I didn't have a permanent job lined up at the time. And I was like, okay, I gotta do something. I didn't have a choice. I was like, I gotta do something that stacks up my skills. And I was like, well, I want to stack up my skill where I'm actually interested in it. And so I was like fiercely watching YouTube videos about like how to find your passion. Cause I was like, I don't have a passion. I don't really know what I like want to do. And so this YouTube video was saying you can find your passion in your biggest pain. And for me, my biggest pain at that time was overcoming bulimia. And the biggest tool for me was exercise. And so when I overcame bulimia through exercise, I decided, okay, well, this is probably something that other people are going through, and exercise is something that can assist with that. And so let me get certified and see what happens. And so as soon as I got certified, I walked into a gym right next to my apartment and I said, hey, can you hire me? And they did, after 2 months of me badgering them. And so I finally worked there for a few months, and then I had to move away. Because I moved for a new job, and then I put up my own shingle and kind of fast forward, I'm here today.
So, and I think I like kind of jumped in head first and asked you more about how you got started before you guys talking about what exactly your side hustles is. I like touched on it in my intro, but Angela, how would you describe, you know, and I'm using the term side hustle because that's just what I know, but you might have a different terminology for it and you can correct me if you'd like. But Angela, what is it that you're doing on the side of your full-time job as a lawyer?
Yeah, you know, I struggle with that term too. I really don't have a better term for it. Like, what else would we call it? Like, I say like maybe like side to side hustle, because it's like both being a lawyer and like this business is like, they're kind of side to side. But how I would describe it is I'm a health coach and I help lawyers design their dream life by working on their mental, physical, and professional health. It all leads up to the mental health aspect by working on the physical with exercise and nutrition as a community. And the other side is the professional health, where I help other lawyers find their passion and maybe even build their own business in order to find that professional fulfillment.
And Jules, I mean, we touched on it as well, though, but you have a book blog that you just described that you started, you know, you've been doing your whole life pretty much, and you start like really dove in after you went on your honeymoon. But is there anything more to it? Like, do you have a particular like angle to your blog or?
Yeah. So what I consider my angle to be is a book blog with, I say book pairings or books paired with lifestyle. So for example, like I said, if I'm talking about Italy, okay, we went to Florence and here's the five books I read that were set in Florence. And this is where this restaurant was mentioned in this book. And we went here and this is what we like. So it's always kind of, sometimes it's just books like a book review or a list of books, let's say set in World War II or something like that. But I like to consider it as book pairings of pairing a book with something mixed with lifestyle.
Yeah. Like I love that you have, you do like the whole Gilmore Girls.
Yes.
And I love it because I love the show.
But... yeah, that really took off. It just shows how things, you know, you sometimes can't really plan for things. I mentioned it once and I never got so many messages. So I decided to just turn it into a thing. And I'm actually going to publish tomorrow or Saturday my Gilmore Girls reading challenge for next year. And what that means for anyone who's not familiar is the main character on the Gilmore Girls was a very avid reader, and they mentioned over 400 books on the show. So what people do is try to read the books and watch the episodes where they mention the books. And that is perfectly aligned with both my purpose and with what people who follow me really like. So I kind of took that angle, which I never anticipated from the beginning, but I tried to take what people were liking and run with it.
I find it so interesting. I'm just listening to these two stories, and Julianne, you had parents who were creative, and then you always wrote, and you wrote your whole life, and you basically just said, listen, I have enough content, I'm going to start this as a side hustle. And Angela, your story, if I'm hearing it correctly, couldn't be more different. You said that you didn't have any real interest in fitness, at least I don't think as a child and growing up, but there was something that happened in your life that sparked it late, kind of in your teens or 20s. I think that's so interesting. You can find inspiration at any given point in your life. It doesn't need to be, it's nature versus nurture, right? Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Angela, specifically, when you started, you know, the personal workout stuff and the life coaching, and then how do you balance that with being a full-time attorney? I mean, it seems to me like you said you didn't have anything lined up, so you badgered your gym, and luckily it was close by because you could visit pretty frequently. But once you started doing that, how did you determine, hey, I have time and I can balance these two things pretty well?
Yeah, I think the first thing right now is just how supportive my boss is. My boss is really, truly the most amazing leader and mentor that I've ever had in my life. And he is, I hope he doesn't mind me sharing that he is a drummer. He is in a band and he's also a sailor. And so he understands what it's like to be a human being beyond the office hours. And so the fact that I am also having my own interests outside of office hours, like we are able to resonate with each other on that. And also he knows that being flexible as a leader allows me to perform better. And that's just the kind of awesome person he is. And so I think that really is a foundation, like having the support around you. And in terms of time, I think that the number one thing that I think a lot of people ask me about is that, like, how do you find the time? But it's really about creating the time, right? And so when we actually take that painful look at our time, kind of like a food journal, like we do with food journal or a money journal or whatever. If we look at our time, we will see that there are a lot of pockets where we are not using it to its best potential. I don't want to say wasting time, because I think that it always can be turned around into something great, even if we feel like it's wasting time. And so that's kind of the number one thing, taking a look at your time. And then number two is to hire, and it's to buy time by hiring people to do the things that other people can do, and focusing on the things that only you can do, which I think is learning and creating.
And I love that point. And I think Julianne, you recently posted about a similar idea, that how you find time to read so many books. And you want to talk about that, like how you actually carve out the time to read it? I'm amazed by it, because I don't know the last time I actually sat down and read a book for pleasure. Actually, I do. It was this summer, and I'm halfway through. I've never finished it.
Sure. So first of all, I agree with everything Angela said. It's something I want to work on with people this year as well. I had a lot of people interested in how you find time and how you make time. And when I get even more time myself, that's something I want to put out there on the blog and into the world and help other people with it. Because I do think I have been pretty good with time, or else this never could have actually my life could never exist the way it is if I wasn't good with my time, or I didn't learn how to use my time. And besides agreeing with everything Angela said, I think I try to have a really positive mindset about time. I don't look at time as, oh, well, there's never enough time, or, oh, I'm so busy, or, oh, I don't have time. I think the first step is a positive mindset. I'd say second is I multitask all the time. Almost everything I do is a multitask. And that's just, I take that from my Scranton background, which Nate would be happy to hear, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you grew up very blue collar in Scranton, and the jobs that you have are blue collar, and you're always, you're not allowed to just stand around. You always have to be doing free things in order to make yourself valuable. And I think I always learned how to multitask. I always had multiple jobs in college and was always doing a million things, and you just sort of learn to manage. I think COVID has really helped. Working from home has given me probably 3 extra hours in the day. And those are direct where I would have been commuting. And that directly correlates to the time I put into the blog almost every day. You know, I'd say that's really it for me, is the mindset and carving out the time, you know, things like meal prep on the weekends, so I'm not cooking during the week. I get groceries delivered. Finding the time, like Angela said, having that journal where you know exactly where your time is. If you see yourself scrolling on social media or watching a show that you really hate, think about whether it's really worth it, that this is your 1 hour of the day to yourself. Is this the show you want to be watching? Or, you know, are you getting something out of this Instagram scroll, or is there something else that you think is a better use of this time?
And I'll say personally, like you brought up groceries and things. I think, you know, COVID forced me to do this too. Like having groceries delivered, I never would have done that before, because I'm like, oh, it's such a waste of money. And now I'm like, I never want to go in grocery store ever again. Like, why would I spend an hour doing that? I miss some aspects of it, of course, like the, you know, the cheese section or something. But, you know, now I'm like, no, I'm not spending my time doing that. But I think it all revolves around if it's something that's super important to you and you want to make sure you have time to do it, then you make sure it's there and you get rid of the things that aren't important or are less important. And you put them, you prioritize, like, this goes down on the bottom of the totem pole, or I'm going to hire someone else to do that. So I think you both you both just made, you know, allotments to make space for this project and something that you're passionate about. And I think that's awesome.
And you both clearly made the time for it and are great time managers. But that said, I mean, we all have moments where we doubt ourselves. And I'll start with you, Angela. Do you ever have a period or a moment where you can think where you said, God, there's too much on my plate? I mean, all these briefs are due all at once. Plus, there's all sorts of clients in my side hustle. And you said, I should not be balancing this many things, and had a doubt about it for a little while. You're muted.
Yeah. I think the biggest challenge was when I felt like I was spending all this time on my hustle, but I was like to no avail. It wasn't producing any results whatsoever. And that was when I doubted myself the most. Every single day, I was like, I should just focus on being a lawyer, just go back to being a lawyer. Why am I wasting so much time on something that doesn't work? And for a while, whatever I was saying, like my podcast, I almost gave up. I almost like said, okay, well, let's just go up to, let's just record a bunch of episodes like before my maternity leave in March, right? This past March. And yeah, we'll see how it goes. And then all of a sudden it just kind of exploded. And I learned that there's always a breakdown before the breakthrough. And so because I knew that before the breakthrough, I was able to kind of keep going and be certain about the outcome, even though there was no evidence. But I think now, having experienced all of that, I know that even when there are challenges, I know how to turn around so that those doubts kind of stay in the back burner.
How about you, Jules? Did you ever have a time that you're like, why am I doing this?
I haven't. And I do think that COVID has helped with that as well, because as you know, Megan, we haven't had any trials or haven't had, you know, a whole lot of depositions or things like that as we normally would. And that's been for the bulk of the part that I have been blogging. So I do think that has helped. And I think a couple things have also helped me not have a breakdown just yet. I think sometimes I do feel overwhelmed. I usually get over it pretty quickly. But my husband was a small business owner and for 10 years, and I saw what he put in. It was all about consistency in the long term and the day-to-day grind, and that you don't see results on day one or day 50 or 100 or 150, that that it's a process, and the people who see success are the ones who wade through that process and who keep going. And that was also kind of what I saw in my research when I was researching about blogging, about how long it takes. And I think you also have to define success and what it means to you. And to me, I felt so much creative joy in just doing it that, if it wasn't bringing in money or if people weren't seeing it, I was still just happy to write this little article that had all my thoughts together in one place, and as opposed to flying around my head. It just felt like the creative joy of it was enough for me to keep me going.
I mean, I think that's also like a good reminder, I think, for Nate and I too. I think he and I spend a lot of time, marketing and putting ourselves out there to, reach new clients. And sometimes you feel like you're a hamster on a wheel and you're just going nowhere. and you want to give up, but everyone always says you just got to keep doing what you're doing and putting the time in, feed your seeds.
Right after college, I worked for a nonprofit, and my boss at that job gave me a book by Malcolm Gladwell called The Tipping Point. I don't know if you've ever read it. I assume everyone here has, because everyone's avid readers and shaking their heads. But that book, explains that, you can put hours or weeks or years into a cause, and there's a point where it lights the matches lit, and then all of a sudden things take off. So I'm sure both of you have had that moment. So Julianne, what was the moment where you did a double take and said, all this work I'm putting in is finally yielding results and I'm seeing something come back here?
Do you mean financially or just a, personal
achievement?
Well, we'll
get to that. One of the bullet points on our outline is let's talk money. But before we get there, just in okay. general, in terms of interest.
So I can definitely give you answers on both. So almost about a year ago, exactly, I had just wrote a comment on a post that was posted by the Read with Jenna Bush book club on Instagram. And I just commented that I really liked the book and I really liked the quote, and just went about my day and didn't think anything of it. And for whatever reason, whether they saw my blog or just randomly selected me, but they asked me to kind of be on the show for her Today Show book club just about a year ago today. So, I was extremely nervous first of all, but
that's awesome.
But I couldn't pass down the once in a lifetime opportunity and got through my nerves as we do with our depositions and trials and everything else. It was really no different than that. The fighting through the nerves, but it really, for whatever reason that they asked me to do it, it really just made me feel like whatever I was putting out into the universe, someone was seeing it as, this is who I really am, and this is connecting, and it all makes sense.
Yeah. I think it really all kind of, with the pandemic, everything just kind of went up at the beginning of that. Because I think my entire business sort of shifted towards adjusting to this new environment, and all the gyms were closed and we were all trying to figure out what to do. And those were the things that I knew how to do. And so within months of the pandemic starting, I finally started making more in my business than in my day job. And so then I think when that breakthrough happened, I think that I was able to, I was finally having that confidence to be able to finally scale and look for more opportunities rather than kind of standing back and feeling those doubts that I was talking about earlier. And everything that I did, everything that I saw became an opportunity rather than something that I was scared about.
And I have to point out, you did this all too, during the pandemic with a newborn. So let's not forget you had that on top of everything else. That's amazing.
Thank you.
So I think that does segue well, like, since Angela brought it up that, you know, that was a time that you were making more on your side, so to speak, side hustle than you were in your day job. But let's, you know, the money is always a factor. I mean, one, did you go into this expecting to make money? And two, are you making money?
Yeah. I mean, I went in expecting that, because I think that there's nothing, I think there's so much demonization of money, as if like money should not be desired, money should not be had. And anyone who does have money is, I don't know, evil or whatever. But I am a true believer that more money just brings out more of who you are. And so if you're going to abuse that resource, then that just speaks to who you are. Whereas if you're going to use it for a greater cause, that's bigger than yourself, then that also speaks to who you are. And so in the beginning, I started with a kind of like the joint reason of one, I want to serve people the way only I can. And two, I want to be able to make money off of it. And they're both related, because money, the impact and the income are very much correlated.
That's awesome. And I love the way that you kind of look at it that way, that, you know, money's not going to make you bad. It is really what you do with it. How about you, Jules?
I agree with Angela. I think not just does money make you bad, but I think it's also important for women. And I see a lot of women in the blogging industry and in the book reviewing industry that are very willing to work not for money. And I think that's a problem. I think there's nothing wrong with wanting to be compensated for your time and your expertise. And when I started, I sort of thought a little bit of both, where I really wanted to do it, as I've said a couple times, for the creative process. But I was also, if I was going to spend my time, which, as we've also talked about, you know, time is such a big thing, and valuing your time and how you use it to the maximum potential, I wanted to set it up the right way, with the hopes and with the intention of making money. At the same time, if it didn't, I would be just as happy with the creative joy. And it's been a little bit of both since then.
And how is it that you monetize? Because I think a lot of folks may watch this, they may see the title Side Hustle. I'd love to have those, or I have one of those. It just doesn't make any money. And how did you monetize? Did you monetize right from the get-go, or did you say, I'm going to put out some free content, and then somewhere down the road, you said, I should be compensated for that. Let me figure out a system. And Jules, we'll start with you. How did you monetize your blog?
The easiest way to start monetizing a blog is to sign up through Amazon and a couple other programs where you can get what's called an affiliate link. And it basically just ties a code to any links on your site. So let's say, for example, I recommended The Tipping Point. I would put a link on that title and maybe even a picture from Amazon. And if someone clicked on my review and went through to Amazon and purchased that or purchased anything else from Amazon, you would get a commission from that. Now with Amazon, the commissions are really small. So it really takes a lot. And if I'm selling books that are $15, $20 and you're only getting, you know, something like 4 or 5% on that, it's a dollar or two here or there. But once my blog grew in terms of traffic, I was able to sign up with an ad network that pays a certain amount of money for every thousand views on your website. And that brings in a couple $100 a month now. And also I had one post really take off that has a 20 something dollar commission tied to it. And that's been bringing in a lot every month, just that one post. So that's sort of a tipping point kind of thing, where I probably have about 150 posts at this point, and that one post is probably bringing in 80 to 90% of the money I'm making.
Wow.
I really hope Malcolm Gladwell's listening. I think it's unlikely.
I know.
We have now plugged his book like four times. So if you're out there, come on the podcast.
Those guys in Belarus are tuning in though.
Yeah, we have. I don't know if you guys know this story. We have some viewers in the eastern part of Europe. So randomly, Angela, how about you? How did you monetize from the get-go, and how did you do that?
Yeah, well, in the very beginning, and when I was working at a gym, I was paid on an hourly basis. And then when I put up my own shingle, I just kind of put up a profile on a website called Thumbtack. It's kind of like TaskRabbit or something. I don't know if you guys are familiar with those. It's just like where you post, where you, as a consumer, you look for contracting services like fixing your roof or like cleaning the house or personal training. And so I put up my profile there, and then I got my very first kind of my own clients through that service. And then I transitioned over to serving lawyers exclusively. And for a year, it didn't bring in any business at all. And then I started getting like traction very, very slowly, like 1-2 lawyers at a time. And then finally I started in the beginning of the pandemic, I had, I started the Fit to Practice Society, where we have a membership doing workouts Mondays, Tuesdays and Thursdays, yoga on Saturdays, fireside chats like every other week, where we kind of come together as a community to do those activities together. And then I've also done masterminds, group coaching. And right now I have my one-on-one is fully booked. And so those are kind of the ways that I monetize.
So, and I mean, that all sounds awesome, but like, how did you even know what to do? I mean, where did you find someone who was already doing it and pick their brain? Did you just do a ton of like research? I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start.
I can take that question because that is probably the number one question I get asked all the time. And I don't blame people, because when I'm trying to learn something new, that's exactly the question I have for them. How do you do this? Where do you start? What do you do? I started years ago, to be honest. As I said, my husband was a small business owner, and just being around him, and I was sort of doing some pro bono legal work for him, and I was really consulting on a day-to-day basis with him. Part of legal work for a small business owner naturally involves some business consulting as well. And just being together and talking a lot, and being around the people that he was working with, I was starting to learn terminology and listening to podcasts and reading books. And honestly, I had learned most of my knowledge years and years before I started. And it is a process. There's a lot out there. It is really overwhelming. I think if someone else was just going to pick up and start a blog tomorrow, I don't think it would be as fast as what I'm doing, just because it really has been several years before I actually did start. But I would say, you know, you start with Google searches, you start with Pinterest searches. There's a lot on Pinterest. You start, you know, I have a book that I recommend, and I'll send you, Megan, I was going through today. I have a list of resources that I use that if anyone wants, you know, to see, you know, where, how do I make my pictures, or how do I research keywords that I want to talk about, or what do I use to, for my host, for my web host, for my blog, I can give you that, which has everything on there. And I do have a book on there called, I think it's called How to Blog for Profit. And that's a good starting point. There's a lot of podcasts out there, but I will say that it can be very overwhelming and very, a little too advanced and a little too over all over the place, where they give you so much information that it's hard to take it all in and pare it down to what you really need to get off the ground.
And I mean, Angela, you kind of knew what to do when you started. I think it's a little bit different of a process from where Julianne started, but still you have to figure out how to build and grow a client base and get your, like, spread your name out there. Did you have anyone who was giving you advice, or for you, was it, you know, you just learned as you go?
Yeah, I knew from the get-go that I couldn't do this my own. But even when I knew that in my head, I still try to do a lot of things on my own. I think it's just the nature. Maybe it's because I'm a lawyer. Maybe it's because it's just how I am. But I was very stubborn about doing this myself. So in the beginning, like in terms of like receiving help, that's why I went to work for a gym instead of trying to put up my own business, because I knew that even though I was certified, like all the techniques and the practical things, I was lacking. And so I needed the other personal trainers in that gym to kind of mentor me through that. And so I initially tried to really hone my skill as a trainer. And then when I started my business, I mean, I really, really did not know what to do at all. So I just did whatever I thought I was supposed to do. Like you said, a lot of Googling, a lot of YouTubing, a lot of courses, a lot of stuff. And even after I was taking all those courses and listening to podcasts, I was still, there were trial and error, failing again and again and again and again. All the things that they were telling me to do, I just tried it all. And every single time I failed, of course, you learn something about what you should or should not do. You also learn something about yourself. You learn more about your clients. And so just in that process, like everybody says this, but it's just a matter of being consistent and not giving up. But where I did really find accelerated growth was when I had focused support. So right now I have a business and life coach, and I have a I have an energy coach who kind of teaches me through that process. And so whenever I have that focused support from someone, it just, everything feels so breezy and everything kind of works itself out. And I have very little to worry about.
Well, it seems like you both have established brands, and we talk a lot, Megan and I do in our firm about branding. And one of the things that side hustle, when we talk to folks at side hustle say, is the coolest place, this is one of the questions Megan and I had talked about waiting to ask both of you, what's the coolest place you've seen your brand or the name of your side hustle business? Because, you know, Jules, you were saying that you were invited by Jenna Bush. So the coolest media post, whether it's on TV or in a social media setting, that you've seen the name of your side hustle business or something linked to something you've created through your side hustle?
I don't think I have like any one in particular where I was like, oh my gosh, like, but I think every time it was on like a bar journal, every time it was on an article, every time it was on some sort of publication or some podcast or whatever, I felt like really grateful for it. I think one time an influencer that I was personally following for a long time recognized me was David Meltzer. I've been following him for a while, and just one day he commented on one of my posts, and I reached out to him randomly, and I found out that he went to law school. He never became a practicing lawyer, but he went to law school. And so I asked him to be on my podcast, and I never thought that he would ever say yes, but he did. And then he got on my podcast, and he also got me and my business on one of his pitch competitions, which was pretty crazy too. So that was one of the kind of highlights.
That's awesome. And that it also goes to say, like, it never hurts to just ask, you know, what's the worst that can happen? They don't respond or they say no.
Right.
Definitely the Today Show. And I also had one other experience where I was re-Instagrammed by Oprah's book club. And I mean, it's Oprah.
Yeah.
I just lost it.
Even Nate had an O there.
I did. Yeah, well, when you talk book clubs, that's the book club, isn't it? I mean, that's the book club.
Yeah. I don't even know if she runs it, but just the thought of it and just a surprise, because you just never know when something like that is going to happen. And they reposted a picture that I had posted a few months earlier. That was one of their book club picks. So I had no expectation of anything like that happening. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's a small thing. You know, you were just on Oprah's book club Instagram. It's not the hugest thing in the world, but at the same time, it's just a cool thing.
Well, but it also, I think it's helps almost reassure you that, you know, you're spending all this time doing something and it's getting noticed. And I mean, that has to, you know, that just reflects so positively back on all the time that you've put in and all the effort you've put in. And it probably helps you keep going, because you're now, it's like, okay, people are noticing it. And I might not know that they're noticing it, but it helps once you get that little extra, you're like, oh no, it's working. Like this is, it's happening. So I think that's awesome. So one thing I'm curious about I mean, Angela's talked a little, spoke a little about her boss and how he's like super supportive. But I imagine that may not always be the case across the board. So I'll throw it to you first, Jules. Like, I mean, does work know that you have this whole like side business going on, and are they supportive of it?
I talked to my boss for the first time when that Today Show experience happened. And I was really, really nervous about it. Probably about as nervous as a person could be. And it was pretty early on as well, when I wasn't as confident in who I was or what I was doing just yet. And you know, my husband really talked me through it, and I must have walked up and down the hallway 5 times before I actually went into my boss's office. But he was thrilled to hear about it. And I think, you know, since then, I'm still really quiet about, my hobby on the side, and we haven't even been in work, since March. But I really try to focus on, meeting my hours and meeting all my goals in my, day job, and then kind of just keeping them separate at this time. And I think, if we do have a conversation again, I think I feel really confident right now that everything that I've done over the past year has done nothing but enhance what I'm doing as a lawyer. It's all giving back to my community. It's all networking. It's really helped me hone in on skills that are hard for me, like something like being on this podcast as an introvert. That speaking out loud is hard for me. I'm a writer. So I think that's helped me, because I've been doing more things like these Zoom calls and podcasts, to help my communication. I've also developed skills that are important for business in a changing world that not a lot of other lawyers have, to be able to figure out how to get on the first page of Google or something like that is something that is important to any business, and almost no lawyers, have that skill set. So I think it places me in a unique place. And I don't really see it as any different than someone being a basketball coach on the side, or being on the school board in their township or anything like that. I think it's just something that you do on the side that helps your community and gets your name out there as a lawyer as well.
Yeah, and I kind of like that analogy too, because yeah, like, I mean, if you have kids and they play sports and you're coaching the team, no one asks any questions about that. So why should it be any different if you have, a completely, a side business? I mean, if you had like a competing law firm, that might be a problem, but, but Angela, how about you? Like, I know your boss is super understanding, but there was a time that he probably didn't know that you were doing this. So at one point you had to make the step and, tell him, what you were doing.
No, my answer is very short for this one. I told him from the very beginning, from the very get-go. I shared with him my very first post on LinkedIn. It was a very vulnerable and raw post about my mental health, and he read it and he gave me a hug and he said, "Yeah, you should. You're really brave for sharing this." And so, I mean, it's just the kind of person that he is, and I'm just so grateful for it.
That's awesome. I think we're getting to the point that we probably need to wrap up, but I want you, I'm curious to see or to hear some advice that you might have for someone who's new and might be, toying with the idea of a passion project or, starting a side business. And if there's any, keen advice that you may have for someone, or even Nate has a little side thing going on that we haven't discussed.
Compared to the guests, it's absolutely nothing. Yeah.
But any advice that you might have for, someone who's considering this?
I hate giving out advice. Everybody is so different. And I mean, I hate receiving advice unless I specifically ask for it. But I mean, I think the first thing is to know what you want to do. And everybody is probably asking, I really don't know what I want to do. I think where we should start is, what do you really, really, really don't want to do? And what do you absolutely, what can you absolutely not tolerate in your life? Because the thing is, like, we really get motivated, pushed towards action when we're trying to avoid pain rather than pursuing pleasure. And so that's, I think, would be the starting point in figuring out what is it that you want to do. And once you realize that, and you start planning and strategizing towards that purpose, then you'll do whatever it is, because then you know for sure, I don't want that. And every step I take is away from that.
I think that's great advice. See, you can give advice. Mm-hmm. Not everyone has to listen.
Hey, you warned them. It's like spoiler alert. They can turn off the podcast right before you start talking if they want.
Like, I don't want any advice. I'm done now. Yep. They're almost done talking. Yep. How about you, Jules?
I definitely have some advice, and I'll probably look at my notes for this one because it's such an important question. And I saw it on your outline, and I wrote down, I've so many little tidbits under here. So I think, first of all, if you're doing a side hustle because you just need some extra cash, you have a bill you really want to pay or a medical expense or something like that, then I think blogging is honestly not the way to go. I think, you know, bartend on a weekend night, do dog walking, do something that gets money in your pocket fast. If you are interested in blogging, make sure it's because it's your passion. And if it really is your passion, then you won't care whether you're making money or not. And you'll be able to hang in there for the long run, because it really is a long run. And you really do have to be able to, you know, I work half a day every Saturday and every Sunday. I work before work, I work after work, I work during lunch, I work before bed, I work in bed when I wake up in the morning. And if it's not your passion, then you're just not going to do that. And with something like blogging, where I have a local friend who is a blogger as well. And she's sort of starting out. She owned a store, and she switched it during COVID over to a blog. But what we both decided is, how we would describe it is, it's like going to college and being the teacher and the student, because you have to learn writing, you have to learn tech, you have to learn search engine optimization, photography, all these different things, but you're also teaching yourself at the same time. And then you're not going to get paid till after you graduate. So it really is a long-term thing. And I think passion is such an important part of it. And hustle is the most important part of it, that it's a long-term game. It's not a short-term game. And if you really want to succeed, you know, whether it's your law profession or a side hustle, that it's all a long-term game. And I would also say, you know, the situation that we're in right now with COVID, if you have extra time now, make sure you're using it wisely. It's such a unique time, and where a lot of people really do have that time that they might not have otherwise. And think about how you want to use it and where you can find those pockets of time. The last thing I would say is, done is better than perfect. I think you can't have a side hustle and have a full-time job and have everything be perfect. So you just kind of have to get things going sometimes, whether they have a grammar mistake or something in them.
And I think that's a really good point, because I think that's really hard for us lawyers too, that you do get caught up in, you know, the tiny details, and things do need to be perfect. So that is something to remember. But I know we need to wrap up. Angela's got a hard stop. She's got to go coach some people through a workout, and we can't let them, they can't make them wait.
I think before they go, we would be remiss if we didn't let them plug their respective side hustles. Well, right? That wasn't on the outline. I don't know, but I've seen enough late night talk shows where you have to let the person plug the new movie. Right. So let's go ahead.
I was getting there.
Wow. Okay. Go ahead, Megan. Sorry.
No, Nate already did it.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Angela. For our listeners in the Eastern Bloc, go ahead.
I don't have a movie, but you can find everything that I do at www.fittopracticesociety.com. And I'm extremely active on LinkedIn, so you can find me there at Angela Hahn. So see you there.
Okay.
Angela's is so much easier than mine. I'm thinking about a much easier rebrand, but right now my web address is the shortened version of my first and last name. So it's julesbuono.com, JulesBuono.com.
Awesome, guys. I personally think I learned a lot today, and this is just something that I'm interested in because I've been watching both of you like grow your brands and your businesses, and I'm like so proud of both of you and interested to hear how you've done it and just impressed as well. So thanks so much for, you know, taking more time out of your day that I know you're already very limited to, you know, talk with Nate and I this afternoon. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys, and have a great night.